right, it's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Wednesday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 812-333-2665. We're giving Terry the night off. Terry's had a busy...
Good job, T.
Terry's had a busy winter, so we're giving him the night off, letting him have a beverage or something.
They have not found a way to clone me yet, and they need to hurry up.
But Glass and I back in the saddle again for tonight, and we've got some college basketball following us up tonight, so don't go anywhere. Louisville at Miami tonight, coming up right after the show. But meanwhile, we're going to talk a lot of IU basketball because they were victors at home on Monday night, 71-68 against Maryland, and they tip off tonight, 9 o'clock at Illinois, part of their very difficult 7 or 8 game stretch here, whatever you want to call it. It's a tight set of games. I believe it was 7 and 18 days. It's a Friday, Monday, Wednesday. It's a whole new year for Big Ten fans and IU fans to try to figure out what's going to happen and what to deal with and all that. And we're right in the midst of it. But we'll return to Monday night first and foremost as the Hoosiers gutted out a interesting game in that they saw Juwan Morgan be put back in the starting lineup, played very, very well in 36 minutes despite an injured ankle up in Michigan State on Friday night. About 25 points, kind of good. But they lost the boards by 11. Only 4 offensive rebounds, only 6 made three-pointers, all the aspects that would make you think the Hoosiers wouldn't win. And yet here at the end of the day, what you're looking at is you're looking towards the end of the stat sheet. And I'm looking at things like blocks and steals and field goal percentages and the 31% in the second half for Maryland and things like that that we haven't seen a whole heck of a lot of recently. But the Hoosiers dialed up the defense in the second half and gutted out a pretty good win. And we wondered after coming home from Michigan State, you know, it was 3 straight gutty games, and then it was Michigan State, everything went wrong. Is that just you're at East Lansing and everything goes wrong one day? You can understand that. And I think everybody breathes a little bit easier knowing the Illinois game, or the Maryland game, rather. You saw them get back to that gutty and gritty style again.
Number one, it's hard to do every night out. That's why coaches get frustrated. They want that to happen every night. When you see your leading player and leader go down early in the first half at Michigan State and know he will not return, you're already down, 19 at halftime, 42-23 or something like that. And that's just a tough place to, A, dig out of a hole, B, do it without your best player, right, knowing he's not going to come back. They probably didn't say, hey, you know, look for him here in a few minutes. He's not coming back.
He wasn't even out on the sideline.
They immediately started treatment, which I think in hindsight was perfect because that's what got you to the Maryland game. There's two ways to sprain an ankle for those of you who haven't played
sports. The painful way and the more painful way?
There is, and they're both painful, but I think that's kind of how it goes. There's the painful where, oh my gosh, it swells up like a tennis ball, but it goes away quicker. And then there's the, well, my foot's just black and it's the high ankle sprain where you need 3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Indiana got very lucky here because if Juwan Morgan had the high ankle sprain variety, that's not one where you come back 2 days later and start playing a team high 36 minutes.
And he's cemented himself as the go-to guy on this team. Not just in the post, but you saw him repeatedly on Monday night taking it from the outside.
I don't think anybody should be terribly surprised about him playing on Monday because as we've seen through Juwan's career, I think we can label more games he's been healthy for than injured.
Yeah, I mean, he's always played with pain.
Wonderful pain tolerance. His shoulder used to, before they got that fixed in the offseason, would just, you know, would pop out or he'd miss a half and then come back the next game and then reach for a loose ball in his shoulder.
Right.
So he's playing through that pain. It basically, they said, well, he can play as long as he wants, as long as he can handle the pain.
Right.
And then last year around the same time as well, he stepped on a referee's foot and had an ankle deal that he had to play through as well. So you don't have to question his toughness. And I don't think anybody did. That was the deal. I think people were frustrated on Friday night wondering why he'd limped off. Why can't he come back on? Mm-hmm. Well, that had to be a business decision.
Yeah.
And when you looked at the scoreboard and you looked at the way Indiana was playing in the first half, why risk anything to your best player?
They didn't get blown
sense.
Out late. I mean, it was a 1-point game with 4 minutes in.
It was 10-9.
And then it became a 20-point game within five minutes again.
And how that happened was interesting. And what night is this? I don't even know what day this is.
That was Friday night. This is Wednesday.
This is Wednesday. Yeah. So you guys talked about this on Monday, obviously. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that you noticed in that run, it's 10-9, and then it's 27-10. Mm-hmm. It's all 3-point plays.
Yeah.
Every single one of them, either traditional at the hoop or 3-point shots. Mm-hmm. It was just a It wasn't 9-2s.
Right.
It was big chunks at big times. And Juwan Morgan played that entire time. Mm-hmm. That's the thing that was part of that. So it was a tough night there. Indiana, I didn't think, played poorly. If you saw, the only reason I remember this is because I watched the film earlier this morning, was you double-team Ward in the corner, and he throws a cross-court skip pass, and the guy knocks down a three. Yeah. Well, that's exactly what you want him to do, and that's not a high percentage
and
shot.
Michigan State was coming off a tough stretch.
They were.
Izzo was in their ear all
Absolutely
week long.
Right.
They were at home. They did something goofy with their jerseys. You know, they do all the things to, you know,
break
make,
the curse,
to make it a big
whatever
night.
Whatever it is.
And then you have a stretch that goes bad and lose your best player.
But it wasn't like Indiana wasn't getting back on defense. One time Ward didn't hustle down the play, and he got rewarded on a dunk. And that was a silly foul from Newkirk. Some of the mental plays, you say, you know, you got to close out better on threes. Don't let guys blow by you for dunks on a back cut. Those are things that
But
happen.
Archie didn't rip them.
No.
I mean, he's going to rip them if he doesn't get an effort out of them.
And exactly right. He didn't after that game. He saw what was coming. I don't want to say he knew that was going to happen, but when Morgan went out, there was no point in putting him back in the game to try it. So what do you get? You get a result on Monday night, and you'd won twice.
A much more needed result, by the way.
Indiana's won in East Lansing in 91 and 2013.
Yeah.
That's it.
Right.
Zero.
It's infrequent.
It is very infrequent. And Maryland on Monday night, he doesn't practice all week, Archie tells us after the game. He does treatment. He doesn't practice at all any of these days and just does as much treatment as he can and plays a team-high 36 minutes. And I didn't think he had and this is a complete compliment. He scored 25 points.
Yeah.
He had 4 assists, both team highs.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't explosive at all.
No.
He was not explosive at the rim. He was not. He only had 2 or 3 rebounds
It was all ball positioning, body positioning. It was using the defender against him.
Right.
You know, shot fakes. I made the mistake, and maybe it's a good mistake, during the show on Monday of asking Terry about an ankle sprain and how that affects you in the post, because Juwan Morgan has been spending so much time in the post.
Right.
And what's he do? He spends almost all night long out around the perimeter and taking people off the dribble all night long.
Because they think he's got a gimpy ankle. And you have that mental thing. And I don't want to say he played possum all night, because his numbers don't suggest that. But when did he get the biggest rebound of the night? He got the biggest rebound of the night with 22.6 seconds left. And guess what? That was his only offensive rebound of the night.
Mm-hmm.
Only one.
Yeah.
When does he do it? 22.6 seconds.
Yep.
1-point game. Missed 2 free throws. Gets it. Puts it back in. Finishes at the rim.
Mm-hmm.
And Indiana's got a 3-point lead. So everything you could have asked for him was fantastic. Great job for the training staff and the coaches to make that decision and get it through. Because you know what? 5-3 in the league sounds a lot better than 4-5 in the league.
This
or
team, we've watched this team. This team is not a great team. This team has a really tough stretch of games it's in the middle of. It's got a few down the stretch maybe that get a little easier. But this is not a great team. And yet it's at 5-3 because it's figured out how to fight. It's figured out how to defend better. It's figured out how to be smarter with the ball. 12 turnovers is one of their bigger numbers in recent games. And it's figured out how to, at every position, I think, just kind of toughen up. This is the second straight game where Robert Johnson, you could say, maybe underscored as you might want as a Hoosier. It's also his second straight game with 7-plus rebounds.
Yeah, 19 against Michigan State, which was solid, but in a win.
Wins. But in this game, you'd want more than 12. But again, 8 and 7 rebounds in the last couple of games. So
fantastic.
Hitting the boards, you're getting what you need out of some of these
guys. But what you just said was this team is getting better.
Yeah.
You just expounded on 5 points of how this team is tangibly getting better. This was a team that was called soft and had inexplicable performances after Fort Wayne and Indiana State. That was coach's words.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the coach describing this team. We're soft.
Yep.
I can't explain what happened. I don't know.
Middle of December.
I don't know how that was.
It was a month ago.
So here we are a month later, and you're seeing tangible difference. Robert Johnson was challenged to play the best basketball of his career. It's his senior year. What did they ask the guards to do? They asked the guards to rebound.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Johnson's last 7 games, I think he's had 5 or more rebounds in 6 of those. It's an amazing run from a guy that was grabbing 2 rebounds a night.
Yeah.
And they asked him to do it, and they did. They asked him to cut down on the turnovers, quit turning the ball over. Indiana leads the league, league play only, obviously, because those other games we talked about, those turnovers were part of the problem.
But also better teams in league play only.
Better teams in league play only, and you're leading the league in turnovers a game.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's only 12 or whatever it is. I've got
it. As in the good side.
It is the good side. Boy, I can't read this tiny print. It's in there somewhere. But that's better. So yeah. That means they are improving. And some of the decisions they make, some of the turnover margin, Indiana is first in the league at plus 3.7. Rutgers is second. Michigan is third. So there you go. It's not leading the league in turnovers. It's the turnover ratio. So gotcha. You're making better decisions with the basketball, finding assists, and you're not giving away points. We know Indiana doesn't shoot it well. I've told you that for 2 years, that this team doesn't. Yeah. It's streaky.
Yeah.
But what they've done.
And the other night wasn't one of them.
but that's the key. What did they find a way to do against Maryland when they didn't shoot it very well? Didn't shoot well, very well in the second half. They're 52% in the first half. That was good.
Yes.
The second half, what did they do? They blocked shots.
I mean, 31%.
They got steals.
Yeah.
They wouldn't let easy layups happen. And here's a great stat that they told us after the game. Indiana is now 4-0 in games decided by 5 points or less.
That's
good winning
experience.
Time.
Yeah, that's good experience.
That's winning time. Yeah. And they figured out a way to eke out some of these performances. Notre Dame was one off the top of my head. Minnesota mm-hmm. was another that jumps off the page. A game that was a 3-point game late
Penn
there.
Penn State.
There
Minnesota.
You go. Throw them out there. But again, they're not 1-4, and geez, they can't figure out a way to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going in. They're not shooting it great from the 3-point line. We know that. The two is better, no doubt about it. But when you don't turn the ball over, when you guard somebody, when you get 10 steals, 8 blocks, you don't have to shoot it great.
Mm-hmm.
Heck, they didn't even shoot it great from the free throw line against Maryland.
Nope.
And they were okay doing
and
that
not
recently.
Real, and they're not real good at that anyway.
No.
But 9 of 16.
But in those late games, remember Devontae hit two.
Yeah,
Devontae and Josh hit the final 8 free throws against Northwestern, I think, to close that game out.
Mm-hmm.
So that was winning plays at winning times. They are starting to make those. But you're right. The schedule, I don't think, and we've been doing radio for a while here, I can't remember when Indiana has played first, third in a 3-game stretch ever in the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
That's just completely random scheduling, obviously. But I can't remember it ever falling in the 3 games in a row. Purdue tied for first.
Yeah.
Sunday. Ohio State tied for first Tuesday.
Yeah.
Michigan State home Saturday, third.
Yeah.
That's a stretch of – the good news is
yeah.
2 out of 3 are in Bloomington.
Mm-hmm.
Indiana does play a little bit differently here.
Well, it's
– and but you can't forget about tonight's game.
The
other thing.
That's the whole thing. It's an interesting stretch. It's 18 days with 7 games, which is unprecedented to – I mean, it's got to be unprecedented, I would think, in the actual number itself, you know, in Big Ten play. Not that none of the other Big Ten plays are dealing with this kind of stretch this year, because they
are. None of them are playing first, third, three games.
But not, yeah, not like that. I mean, you start it with Michigan State, and you bring a pretty good Maryland team to town. This game, like you said, tonight at Illinois, this is no cakewalk.
No.
I don't care if they're winless or not.
Tom Izzo called them the best 0-8 team in the world.
They are playing their butts off. They're playing physically. They get up in you. And, you know, if there's one thing we got to remember is that this team still has that are they soft thing behind them, this IU team. And now you're going into a place that's always a difficult place to play against a team that likes to punch people in the mouth.
Guess who else doesn't shoot it well?
Well, there you go. It might be ugly.
Bring your sack of rocks.
Sunday, you've got Purdue. Then you've got Ohio State 2 days later,
right.
And then only 4 days later, you got Michigan State, as you mentioned. Then you got to go to Rutgers too. It's a rough, rough stretch. We'll talk a little bit more about Maryland on Monday night and what to look forward to tonight in just a couple minutes. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. Back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Quick programming notes for you right after the show here. We've got Louisville and Miami playing college basketball. More college tomorrow night. Colorado is at Arizona. 8:15 is pregame for that. Friday night, we return to high school basketball with Franklin Central coming to town to face the North Cougars. 7 o'clock Chalk Talk and 7:30 tip-off for that game. On Saturday, a battle of the styles in the ACC as Virginia and Duke play 1:45.
Pre-game
for that.
Matchup.
And then on Sunday, the much-anticipated Pro Bowl here on WGCL at 2:30.
Give your football fix a you don't get a week off. You get a little Pro
That's
Bowl.
Right.
And then starting on Monday, or is that Monday or that Sunday night we will start the 7 days till Sunday, the Super Bowl nightly.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's not a recap. You look back over history, some of the great games, some of the great players that made those games, get you in the mood for it. So if you're a football fan, we've got you covered. And if you're a college basketball game, that's going to be evening time. I'm going to guess around 10, but I'll get you a more definitive answer on that as we get closer to Sunday night there. And then baseball season, pitchers and catchers, not even a month away.
Lord.
The Reds caravan will be at the College Mall on Sunday from 9 to 11. I think that's 9:30 to 11. I think I have my times wrong there. 9:30 to 11, I think that's what they're going to do there. It's 90 minutes, not 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
9:30 to 11. Marty Brenneman will be there, the Hall of Fame broadcaster. Center fielder Billy Hamilton. He will be running around. Nobody will catch him. And the Reds do a great job there. There'll be plenty of giveaways and promotions and schedules and autographs and all that fun stuff. So we'll see at College Mall Saturday, 9:30 to 11 is the time for all that. So you're caught up on everything that we've got going on here at the station.
812-333-2665 is the phone number. So I asked Terry the other night, and I'm going to ask you the same question. Not that you never posted up in your life, but you were a point guard. Terry was a shooting guard. So you used to being out on the perimeter.
That's right.
You're running around, around the three-point
constantly
line, looking for open shots and taking anything that looks
close. Pass.
You sprain your ankle, and 3 days later, you're asked to carry the load for the team.
Yeah.
But from your standpoint, as a basketball player, is it easier to be in the post and try to work a guy in the post when you've got that maybe a bruised wing, so to speak? Or is it easier to be taking it from 25 feet away? Because he spent an awful lot of time to Juwan Morgan getting the ball at the top of the key, at the perimeter, and then just kind of taking his time, taking people off the dribble. He was great at it. But it was, I don't know, I guess it was a little surprise. Well, it was very surprising to me he spent that much time doing it. But I was surprised at how much success he had, given how far he had to cover, how much ground he had to cover with it.
Simple answer. It's a matchup question. Tchaikovsky cannot guard him on the wing.
Right.
Bruno Fernando cannot guard him 20 feet from the basket. Tomajic cannot guard him on the perimeter. Going into there, house down there, they don't block a lot of shots, but they're long, and you've got help down that way. If I think it was brilliant to take him out and make their defense uncomfortable and make them adjust to it. If he's in the post, he should be fine, because once you play, you should be able to do everything you need to do. It's not like a limitation where you can only hit pitching wedges and not five irons.
Right.
If you're going to play 36 minutes, you have to do everything you're used to doing. But I think that was something they probably saw on tape. It said, look, in the post, they've got a 50-50 shot because they're long.
Yeah, you're already giving up size.
But you're out on the floor. Indiana didn't shoot any free throws in this game till late in the second half. It was that total, I believe Indiana, they didn't have any for a long period of time.
1-3 in the first half.
Which is nothing.
Yeah.
So if Morgan was comfortable finding space there, pulling those guys away from the rim to let other people drive and get through the lane, I think that's something they saw on tape. I don't think that had anything to do with how his physical condition was. Because if he was limping around, I don't think they would have played him, because that means he was hurt.
Yeah.
He was injured. Hurt and injured are two different things. I think injured is the technical, that's what the trainer would say.
Right.
And guys that are hurt, you play hurt. You don't play injured. There's a difference on that. So I think he was ready
to go.
Yeah,
you can't perform.
No.
And there's a fine line in there.
Was he 100%? No, but he was 80. And there's a point of diminishing returns where you say, go do these drills in Cook Hall. And if you can't do these drills, we're not going to play you, because what good does it do? You're not going to be able to get in transition defense.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be able to protect at the rim. You're not going to be able to do this. So to answer your question in a short way, I think the offensive side of this was probably something on their scouting report that they found out. Hey, these guys don't block a lot of shots, but we're not going to give them a chance to get you when you're not 100%. Make them come out and take you on the perimeter. And if you can get through them, great. Because Juwan Morgan's a great passer. Everybody forgets
four
about
assists in this game.
Four assists is fine. Remember, assists are only as good as the guy on the other end
making
the shots.
That's right.
But Juwan Morgan doesn't throw the ball in bad spots.
No, he's patient out there.
And he takes his time. And he
doesn't
reads the
lose
game
the
very
ball.
Well. That's right. So when you have him facing the floor, he has more options as well. Mm-hmm. And if he can get by these guys, then everybody has to switch and rotate. Then his passing skill, he can find open men. So I thought it was a pretty solid game plan there. The other solid thing about Indiana's first half is, and we haven't seen a ton of all this, it was balanced scoring. You had Morgan with 10 and Johnson with 8 or 9, and Justin Smith didn't miss a shot. I think he was 4-for-4 in the first half or something close to that effect. You had some balanced scoring in multiple positions, so Morgan wasn't burdened with the load. Devontae Green hits a huge three before the half ends to make it 42-39.
Yep. And you got something on the board out of Zach McRoberts. I mean, the kid makes hustle plays.
He had a five-point run on his own second half there to tie it up at 50.
But he put 7 points and 4 rebounds up. He was an 0-for on both of those the other night. So, I mean, you got to get something out of that. It doesn't have to be huge.
No.
Because we know the kid can stick his nose in, but you got to get something out of it.
He did. And the other thing that he doesn't get any credit for sometimes in the box score, which he should, is he is active poking balls away, loose balls, balls in the fray, help defense when he digs in and knocks them away. Mm-hmm. You got to remember, Cowan and Herter, their two best players that combined for 34 points, had 11 turnovers.
Yeah.
11 of their 18. Yep. Those are the guys handling the ball all the time. That's a terrible rate of return.
Yeah.
And part of that is what Indiana did defensively. They weren't letting Herter get anywhere. Anytime these guys would drive, they would try to double and get on them to make them give the ball up. Now, obviously, I think Nickens hit some shots. Yeah, he had plenty of shots. He had 12 points off the bench. But really, nobody else hurt these guys. Their starting forwards, or the forward and the center, had no points in the game. Those big guys had nothing.
Cowan got to the basket, but he took some ill-advised shots. Herter was 6-of-9. But, you know, I'll take any time Herter's only putting up 9 shots at night in the way he can shoot it.
But him and McRoberts, I don't want to say canceled themselves out, but, you know, Herter grabbed 11 rebounds, but McRoberts chasing him all day long. He didn't get easy shots, and he only took 9 of them. So that means he wasn't comfortable in what he was doing. And in the post game, somebody, they asked Juwan about it, and he said, you can hear on the court, nobody likes when McRoberts guards him. You can hear the rumble and you can hear the grumbling because he does all the things that 90% of the guys don't
just
do.
In you.
Well, yeah, and he gets in you, but he's not dirty. He just plays hard, and some guys take defense off.
812-333-2665 is our phone number. Talking IU basketball for Monday night before we get into tonight. Again, they tip off 9 o'clock at the Assembly Hall in the other place.
Thankfully, they've renamed that the State Farm Center.
Yeah,
State Farm suck all their money into it.
Because the University of Illinois will sell their souls.
That's right.
They don't care.
And they did.
And we kept Assembly Hall, at least. I mean, you put a name on it, but you still got Assembly Hall. Defense for this team.
Fantastic.
It is clearly better than it has been in the recent past. I don't want to make it one factor because it can't possibly be one factor.
No, it's never one factor. You're right.
But how much is seeing a guy like McRoberts and knowing that the coach is going to play somebody that does the thing that he does for everybody else that gets in the game?
That's an interesting point.
Because, again, the other night he had 0 points and 0 rebounds, mm-hmm. and he had 1 assist and 1 turnover and 1 steal and 1 block. It was not – and it was in 30-some minutes.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of nothing for a lot of minutes. And this is a much better-looking box score. But you know he's out there getting up into people, like you said, and bugging them.
Yeah, 3 steals, 3 assists, 4 rebounds, 7 points.
Yeah.
That's the good news. The intangible part that Archie Miller likes about him is he makes smart plays, he makes winning plays, and he's not a guy where you say, why is McRoberts, man, wide open underneath the basket?
Right.
Why is McRoberts, guy, sitting in the corner shooting wide open threes?
I mean, obviously, if you're doing stupid things and can't play,
you're not
playing 30 minutes.
And he wasn't recruited to Indiana University.
Right.
He walked on.
Mm-hmm.
He tried out at the Hyper. They found him at the Hyper. Whatever the angle was behind that, because they were desperate to find somebody in their roster who would do work like this. We always talk when the season starts, how do you get on the floor if you're not one of those guys? Well, he has written the book.
Yeah.
And the book that we gave you the Cliff's notes before the season started. If you want to get on Archie's good side and you can't shoot the ball, you better defend. You better find a way or you transfer.
Right.
Curtis Jones left. Couldn't find a way to get in the game.
That's right.
Couldn't play. Couldn't get in there. The McRoberts thing is great because what he doesn't do to a team is upset the apple cart. He does not use the ball unnecessarily. He is the quintessential perfect teammate. He is the guy that is always going to have your back when you're beat. He's going to be the first guy that runs down the court on defense. He's going to be the first guy in the mosh pit on the floor diving for a loose ball. He's going to be on the glass and defend.
Let me ask you
this.
Not
everybody likes to do that.
I completely agree with you.
Yeah.
On a team that doesn't have a bunch of stars, that he shows up.
That's exactly right. I mean, and he does it more often than he doesn't.
And I think that's another key here is this is not a team full of stars.
Nope.
That he's running circles around.
They can't beat him out. They
making them look bad. I mean, you've got a couple kids that are much better recruits. I mean, there's no question about that. But you don't have all the NBA kids on this team.
Here's how I think of it. Justin Smith comes in, and you look at him, you say, God, he's perfect for this league.
He looks
gorgeous. He is 6'7". He has muscles. He dunks effortlessly. He is just he passes the eye test. You don't have to rely on Justin Smith to defend 35 minutes a night because Mick Roberts does it.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about Justin Smith bringing it every night as a freshman because Mick Roberts does it. Mm-hmm. That balance is huge. He takes that burden off guys where they can say, you know what, if I do my job, I know he's going to be right next to me and I'm going to be okay. Mm-hmm. I don't have to overthink. I don't have to go run from my guy over here to go crazy and try to block shots and rebound. He just plays the way you should play.
Right.
And some nights the box score stinks. But you know what? There are a lot of stinky box scores in the Michigan State game.
Oh, yeah.
We don't have to point them all out. But that's part of the deal. He covers up some of those cracks by being in places maybe he shouldn't be and takes the stress off the other guys. Al Durham had a great start to the year.
Yeah.
Freshmen do this. Yeah. Freshmen. Justin Smith.
I mean, he got in the starting
Justin
lineup quick.
Justin Smith, before he went home for Christmas.
He was playing 2 minutes a game.
We didn't know.
Yeah.
Because that's what freshmen do. Mm-hmm. Mick Roberts had to play. These other guys couldn't play at that time. And he found a way to make himself valuable to this team that didn't involve coming off the bench and jacking up shots.
Right.
It didn't come off the bench and making plays or trying to make plays that either were or weren't there, trying to make things happen. He facilitates the game. And I think that's why Archie Miller likes him. He's not – we never sit here and talk about, boy, you know, he played 30 minutes and had those 7 turnovers. It's zero. He had no turnovers. None.
That's right.
None. And other guys can make those kind of plays. Devontae Green plays, Justin Smith plays, Al Durham. Those freshmen and sophomores can make those, try to make those plays because Mick Roberts won't.
Yeah.
You don't have 5 guys making those plays. And that's the balance they've found now, which I think is a tremendous asset because Archie can stick him in and go, I don't have to worry about that. Now, if I can get Devontae to listen when I'm calling the play, if I can get Al to pick his head up and stop looking at everybody's feet on defense, that'll be better. If I can get Justin just to turn his hips one way so Bridges doesn't run back and back cut him for a dunk, he can worry about that other stuff. He doesn't have to worry about Juwan. He doesn't have to worry about Robert Johnson. He really doesn't have to worry about Newkirk. So having that piece of the puzzle, which I think it is, they have found a way to use that piece of the puzzle to buy minutes, to buy calmness, to buy aggressiveness on the defensive end, calmness on offense. That's why he's playing, folks. And here's my thing. If you can't stand him, if you don't like him, fine. You're allowed to do that. It's America. Nobody has beaten him out yet.
No, that's exactly the point.
Nobody has beaten him out.
That's exactly the point. Look, this is
a tribute to the kid is what it is.
Well, this is. This is a compliment to the kid that he's playing the minutes that he's playing. And that he's earned it, and that he doesn't make the mistakes. You know, there's a lot of old-timey fans who might tell you, give me 5 of these guys and you can win in the Big Ten.
You can't.
And you can't.
You cannot.
And that's not an insult to the kid. You've got to have talented guys around you that can do the other things.
Let me tell you about how this works, because Archie made an interesting point.
But I like the point you're making there about how he's a huge piece right now.
Yes.
And let's give him a little more credit than one of the words you used there. He's not just kind of bringing some heat here and there. He's playing 30 minutes a game right now.
Yes, because he earns
that's the third
minutes.
Most out there.
Okay. Right?
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, he's playing constantly because he's earned that.
And it balances the squad. You hear about that in soccer. Mm-hmm. You hear about it, not so much in football, but in soccer you say, well, you can't play 5 strikers. Well, why not?
Right.
Well, because you get killed on the other end.
Yeah,
of the field.
I mean, you got to cover the whole field.
That's the whole deal. He's balancing the lineup. Right. And Archie said after the game on Monday night, they asked him what happens if Morgan doesn't play. And he goes, well, we'd have to experiment with some lineups that we haven't in the past, like playing Josh and Colin together. So you have that, you have 31 minutes from Zach. Calling him Josh, just like Fisher does.
Of course.
Don.
We all do.
Well, it's Josh Newkirk and Zach. I totally get why he does it. Mick Roberts plays 31 minutes and Hartman plays 19. So you get 50 minutes out of that position instead of just 25.
Right.
So that balances it. One guy can play with one, and one can give you different minutes. And, yeah, they'll intersect in minutes. I think he was talking about having to play them both in a post scenario.
Yeah, right.
Right. So Mick Roberts gives you flexibility. He can play guard guards. Mm-hmm. He can guard forwards. Probably not who Juwan Morgan and maybe that interior. Justin Smith's got a bigger body where right. he can lean on a bigger player.
Yeah, it's going to be hard for
Zach. But he can guard three and a half, four positions.
Yeah.
That gives you balance. Hartman can guard three. Morgan can guard five positions.
Yeah.
So you have to have those. We're up. Now we put this here and over there because we're up.
Mm-hmm.
If we need to come behind, we're down 19. Well, maybe that's not the game for Mick Roberts because you need to find a way to get back into it scoring, but nothing worked at Michigan State.
Well, let's be fair here. I mean, he's earned his minutes.
He
there's no question there.
Earned it.
Part of it is the fact that there are some up and down players on this team. But the bottom line is he's earned it because he's been consistent and he's been consistently positive for this
and
team.
And I would listen to the complaining, the moaning, if Indiana was 2-6 in the league.
Right.
They're 5-3.
They're 5-3, and that is surprising,
and
actually.
Whatever,
this team isn't that good.
And you play
let's be fair. This team is not that good.
This team offensively is limited.
Yeah.
And they are finding ways to win, which should make all those IU fans
point, isn't it?
Happy yeah. as it can be, because they're winning with what? Tough defense.
Exactly.
They're not throwing the ball
they're
away
in
tight games or 4-0.
Yeah.
5-point games or less
yeah.
in the margin. That's winning time and winning. Those aren't easy things to do.
Yeah.
Making those free throws down the stretch. Mick Roberts missed two free throws. You want to kill him for that? Great.
Yeah.
Didn't cost you anything, but yeah, you like him to make those.
Sure.
But you know what? Why'd he get fouled? You know why he got fouled? He was the guy who grabbed the rebound.
That's right.
After they missed a three-point shot.
Standing on the other end after a bad shot.
That's part of it. So you have to balance it all out. And it's not – if this was a top-10 team, we wouldn't be worried about the glue guy.
Yeah.
We'd be talking about the two or three NBA draft picks you have.
No,
that's not the case.
Three tough games in a row after a tough visit tonight to Illinois, which we'll talk about here when we get back from the break. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass will be in the zone. Back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Some programming notes for you right after the show here. We've got Louisville and Miami college basketball. Thursday night, we've got tomorrow night, Colorado at Arizona. That's 8:15 is pregame for that. Friday night, we continue our high school basketball season with Franklin Central at North. Chalk Talk 7 o'clock and tip-off 7:30 for that game. Saturday, again, a clash of styles in college basketball, what ought to be and has been frequently a very interesting game. Virginia at Duke. Duke is scoring in the 90s every night. Virginia maybe getting into the 50s if they're lucky.
I think Virginia let Clemson get 13 second-half points last night. 61-36, I believe the final was there. Well, that's why they're number two in the country. They're awfully, awfully good. And Duke's four. Obviously, we saw Duke come through here earlier in the year and saw all the firepower they have. So that'll be a tasty one in the ACC. That's going to determine a lot in who's going to be your regular season champion. I believe that game is at Duke.
That is at Duke. I'm just
checking
here.
So the Cameron Crazies. But if you're a good team like Virginia is, you can take your show on the road. And that's what Indiana is going to need to do tonight, Dave. It is 0-8 Illinois. They have not won a lot of basketball games. They have struggled to find scoring. They have struggled to find consistency. They have a freshman point guard. You know how that can go. That's the worst position to have a freshman for in any league.
Again, another rookie coach in the Big Ten.
Brad Underwood, who has done well in other places he's been, but year one, it's never easy. Archie Miller will tell you the exact same thing because it's just not your players. Not everybody's bought in as quickly as you need to. And Illinois, though, they do one thing. They absolutely positively get after you. Michigan State had 25 or 26 turnovers on Monday night. And by the way, Illinois played after Indiana Monday night, so if you're worrying about the schedule,
right,
we got two more hours.
At least I got two home games, but that's it.
That's it. Michigan State had 25 or 26 turnovers. And to put that in perspective, that was the most since 2005 for an Izzo team.
Wow.
Now, Izzo's team had a big turnover deal this year. Remember when they beat North Carolina by 18? They turned it over 23 times that night.
Yeah.
They ended up winning this game by, 11 or 12?
They're a bunch of sophomores. They won by 13. They're a bunch of sophomores and young kids. So, I mean,
they are
tossing the ball around a bit.
They are. But what they make you do and what they turn their angle is, and from watching the Michigan State game after our game, is they're going to force you into helter-skelter. And if you choose to throw the ball away, they will gladly accept it. Mm-hmm. But what they do not do, here's the converse point, Michigan State shot 68%. That's their best since 2004.
Yeah.
Because why? Well, not a lot of teams give up 68% shooting because they choose to guard the basket. So here's Illinois' problem. If you get past that first layer,
yeah,
their rim protection is not very good. I think Michigan State had 9 or 11 dunks in that game. Miles Bridges was 11 of 13 for 31 points. And Miles Bridges can shoot you from anywhere.
Sure.
But usually when you go from 11 for 13, it's not out of the
three-point
line.
There was a lot of alley-oops in the highlights of that game.
There was. And Jaren Jackson had a handful of dunks, part of those 11 dunks as well. So if you are patient and positive with the ball, senior guards Josh Newkirk and Robert Johnson should help with that.
Yeah.
Well, turnover margin.
That's what I was
going to
ask you, though, because, you know,
it's going to be a big test tonight. There's
been as many ups and downs among the two senior guards as there's been everybody else on this team. You know, so we can say, hey, Devontae Green and Al Durham are having their good days and their bad days and all that, but it's also happening at the senior guard level.
It is. And the good news about Illinois is they're going to struggle to score. So if you do give them extra possessions, it's not like giving Michigan State extra possessions or giving Purdue extra possessions. Boy, they're good. They are awfully good. But so that's the point. That's what Indiana's going to have to do tonight. They're going to turn it over more than usual just because of the breakneck style Illinois plays. If they don't, they're going to win by 100. If they keep it at the 9-10 level mark, because that means Illinois is not doing anything they're supposed to be doing.
Right.
But Kipper Nichols scores 27. I don't think Kipper Nichols had 27 points all year, but the point is...
Yeah, we're just nine.
Well, that's the point. Yeah. So he has a game of his life, and it's a 13-point Michigan State win. Indiana and Michigan State aren't on the same level. I'm not trying to make that point. What I'm suggesting is Kipper Nichols isn't going to get 27. Indiana plays pretty good defense where if you know, Cowan and Herter didn't kill him, Tony Carr had a nice game against him.
Right.
Lamar Stevens was getting 30 on everybody. Indiana slowed him down enough to win. This is a game where on the road is going to be how you handle things. You're not going to have the crowd, or as Archie calls it, the building, to get you back into things. And that is absolutely true. But you like the turnover margin. You like, this is where we talk about senior guards all year long. This is a game that I don't want to say you must win it because that's silly. It's one game. But this is a huge boost game knowing the next three opponents that you have.
Right.
You don't want to be looking at four in a row on the wrong side of the tracks.
Well, I want to back up for a second.
Good.
Really good. We've got two unbelievably bad losses on our resume this year.
On our home court.
On our home court to teams that aren't in the Big Ten.
That's right.
Or other power conferences.
No argument with that.
If you're talking about where this team has come from and is developing into, I want to look back at Illinois for just a second because they're 0-8 in the conference. And everybody's going to see 0-8 in the conference. And we're going to see 5-3 for Indiana. And if this ends up being a tight game and potentially a loss,
it can be a tight game.
Why is that not as bad as the other games?
Well, Tom Izzo called them the best 0-8 team in the world Monday night after the game. Mm-hmm. He said that on the air with Bill Raftery. I saw those comments. He said they just get after you. They're relentless. He said he's never in his – recently in the Big Ten, nobody guards you like that. I think Michigan State's talent can cover up a lot of the flaws that come with turning the ball over 25 times. You can't do that. Indiana knows that. But what you have to do, if you passively attack pressure, the pressure has a chance to reset itself. Mm-hmm. So this should be a game, if Indiana handles their business with the ball, that should be a scoring game.
Yeah.
Because they should have dunks and layups
easy
breaking
baskets.
This.
Right.
The thing I really like about Indiana is Juwan Morgan can go to the center of the floor, call for the basketball, and if somebody doesn't want to guard him, he's free to roam and do what he wants.
Yeah.
Thank you. Please and thank you. He doesn't make bad decisions with the ball.
Right.
You have enough guys, even like McSwain, Smith, who can finish at the rim.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the guys that are going to get the duck-ins. They're going to get the guys the trap and move the ball.
Well, you got Morgan and McRoberts. They're both smart with the ball, like you said.
Yeah.
So is Hartman. They can both handle it decently. I mean, Morgan's one of the better big men handling the ball.
Minnesota has pretty good guards. When Indiana was up there battling in that game.
Yeah.
Again, pretty fair fight. Nate Mason's was a good player,
real
good player.
Murphy.
McBrayer shot the lights out in the second half there. Indiana's defense tonight is going to be the answer to this because you know, and I think this is just, that's my opinion, I think that they're going to turn it over more than they usually do.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do when you turn it over? You don't let them take advantage of it. You don't want the points off turnovers to be out of whack. And if you can keep that – in the same building. I think Illinois had, how many turnovers did they have against Michigan State? 18 or 19. So that 25, okay, you're minus six in turnovers.
Yeah.
If it's 18-12, it's 15-9.
18's a lot still.
It is. For Illinois, it's a lot. So this isn't
average 15.
This isn't, there you go. This isn't a Rolls-Royce offense. It's going to take these turnovers and make them into something.
Right.
So if you can get back, what has Indiana been doing a really good job of lately? Steals, blocks, keeping guys' field goal percentage off, points down, things like that. That's what you talk about going on the road. That's what translates. Maybe you're not going to shoot it great. Fine. This team hasn't shot it great all year. But what they have found their good tidings in is situational defensive play, being competitive on the glass, and not letting teams run you over.
Illinois had 10 turnovers compared to 25.
That's plus 15. That's the offense we're talking about.
The two point guards for Michigan State combined for 12 turnovers.
Cassius Winston had four offensive fouls. That's four of them right there.
Yeah.
So what do? They pester you. And what did Winston do? He got frustrated, start throwing his arms off. Senior guards can be cool.
Let's look a little further forward. Because on Sunday,
before
we're back on the air,
I don't want to.
We might have the best team in America coming to town on Sunday in Purdue.
Arguably.
At least playing that way right now.
They are. They're really
good. They are really good right now. They're balanced, and they're tough to handle up front.
They are. And I think with Purdue, I think Purdue, it's hard to say this, they're balanced.
It's only
they're,
one
you're
year.
Good.
It's only one year.
They're good. Carson Edwards
really
is
good.
Dakota Mathias is good. Edwards is good.
They got a backup to Haas that's even bigger.
Harms is okay. Haas is he just takes up a lot of space.
Yeah.
How do you beat Purdue? You make them do un-Purdue things. And if anything, Indiana is doing well this year, is doing better at. It's playing defense.
Yeah, it's getting in India.
And getting after loose balls and everything else. You know you're going to get a little help from the whistle at home. You hope in a game like this. Mm-hmm. But what you can't do is you can't let the big bounce go. You can't have that 19-18-0 run you saw at Michigan State. You have to find ways to play through that. You have to find ways to gut out it is about toughness. And you're not going to be perfect every night, especially against really good teams, but you have to find a way at home. If it's going poorly, hey, you just had three bad calls against you in the Maryland game, but you found a way to turn it and get back into it and then take the lead again. So that's a positive thing. They've done this.
Yeah.
Maybe not against the caliber of Purdue, but everybody's got to come to play.
Well, and
can't have nights off against
the Purdue top game
teams.
Is one of the games where the hall is rocking the minute you walk in the door.
It is.
And not every night, not many nights, in fact, are like that. But you get a couple a year like Duke, like Michigan State will be, like at the end of the year, Ohio State will be.
Same talent with Duke.
You get a couple of those a year, and this is always one of them. So
it is, and it's a big rivalry game, and the guy, the pressure's squarely on the Purdue Boilermakers.
I mean,
Indiana's
not supposed to win that game.
Well, and Purdue's supposed to win the league and do other things. And if they don't take care of their business, that's why you play the game. What's the great equalizer in college basketball, Dave? The three-point shot. Indiana shoots it well one night to beat Purdue. That's fine with me.
I wish we did it more regularly. Got to head on out of here, folks. We'll be back Monday night. Don't go anywhere. We've got Louisville and Miami playing here in just a short time. Again, high school basketball on Friday night, Franklin Central at North. We will return on Monday, so we'll talk to you then. You've been in the zone.